Okay, our summer holiday Sundays. These next few weeks we're in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. What's a psalm? Is a psalm a tree that you find in hot places? You know, I think there's loads of them in Morecambe, isn't there? And you know, places like that. That's a palm tree, you know, with coconuts. That's not what a psalm is. A psalm is a song or a prayer to God. That's what a psalm is. And God in his goodness has given us a whole book in the Bible of these songs and these prayers to him so that we can make his words our own and pray and sing them back to him. He's given us lovely, brilliant words for all situations and circumstances in life that we can sing and pray back to him. It's a wonderful gift. He's a good God. He's generous. And we're in the book of Psalms. Who knows how many psalms there are in the book of Psalms? Anyone know? How many, Margaret? 150. Who can tell me? This one's for a prize. Which one is the longest psalm? Yeah? No call. You know me better by now. No calling out. Okay, just hand up and, you know, I got lots of numbers there, but I think you said... Good lad, 119. Who knows how many verses in Psalm 119? Feel free to check it out. Edwin? 150. Not 150. Yes? 176. Correct. Brilliant, 176. Who can tell me what the shortest psalm in the book of Psalms is?
117.
Jim? 117. How many verses?
Two.
Okay. That's the short. So, longest chapter in Psalms is also the longest chapter in the Bible, 119. The shortest chapter in Psalms is also the shortest chapter in the Bible, 117. Well, there we go. Interesting facts, aren't they? They're not really important. What's important is the message they contain. That's the important thing. And that's what we're going to be looking at together. We are looking at Psalm 117 today, which is the shortest psalm. You might be relieved we're not looking at Psalm 119 in its entirety, but Psalm 117. Here it is, it's coming up, and we're going to say it together. It's our first Bible reading. So together we say, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Fantastic. Have a look at that. Let's read it through again. That's what we're thinking about today. It's only small, okay? It's only 30 words in English. Actually, 17 in the original Hebrew. Just 17 words. But it has a big, big message. Someone has called this psalm the little giant. A little giant. How can you be little and be a giant? Well, just because something's small doesn't mean that it's not big in its impact. Here's a couple of examples. A picture coming up. Just because, there you go. Yeah, we have to remind ourselves, I suppose, at some point. But Lionel Messi, footballer. He's small. He is. He's only 5'7". He would have been even smaller if he didn't have growth hormones given to him when he was younger. He's got this condition which makes him stay small. He's 5'7". But he's big. He's a big player. A big, big, big player. Makes a big difference in a game. As we discovered ourselves. Okay. Let's forget about that now. Next picture. Here's a picture of something that's small. It's just tiny. It's just tiny. So smaller than a man's hand. Just a few inches. It's called the... Anyone know what that is? Yeah? Wow, well done, son. Oh, yeah. Blue. Blue. This is the blue-ringed octopus. Yes. Blue-ringed octopus. And it's a little animal, little creature, but it's got a big bite. It contains enough venom to kill 26 human adults. What on earth is that guy doing with it on his hand? Apparently that's not my hand. It's not my hand. No, thankfully you don't find those in Morecambe or in Morecambe Bay or anywhere like that, elsewhere in the world. But you won't want to be putting those on your hand, I'm telling you. Okay? It's a little creature, but it's got a big bite. Psalm 117 is little, to just two verses, just a few words, but it's big. It's got a big hit. And it's a big message. And what we're going to do today, we're going to go through this psalm a few times, and each time we go through it, there'll be words missing, and I want us to identify the missing words, and then we're going to be thinking about those words, okay? So here it is complete. Again, just have a quick look around, and then next time there's going to be some words missing, and I want you to tell me what's missing. Brilliant. Take it off. Okay, who can tell me what words are missing? So there's three gaps, but just to say there's two words missing. Two words missing, yeah? Praise is one of those. Well done. And the other is, who can tell me? Yep. Extol. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Yeah, praise. Extol. Let's think about those words. Praise. To praise is to tell someone how great they are. Tell someone how great they are, or to express the greatness of someone or something, either to yourself or to someone else. Praise. And extol is similar. It means something similar. It means to make much of something or someone. To boast about it. To boast about them. To praise something very, very much. To show loud appreciation for someone or something. You know, we're always praising and extolling someone or something, aren't we? We are. We can't help it. We're praisers. We're extollers. All of us. We praise our loved ones. We praise our heroes. We praise our favorite teams. We praise our favorite films, our musicians, food, places, views, you name it, we praise. What a great player, that Paul Baxendale. I mean, what a great player. Oh, that chick in Madras. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Chicken Madras from Jaheel in Kendall's. Absolutely wonderful. Those cooks at Jaheel are brilliant. Look at that sunset. Isn't that stunning? Isn't that stunning? We love you, Blackpool. We do. We love you, Blackpool. We do. We love you, Blackpool. We do. Oh, Blackpool, we love you. We're always praising someone or something. Okay, let's praise next all. What's missing this time? Okay, William. Yeah? Yeah, so that's it. What's missing? You said it. Two words. The Lord. Well done, Will. Say, Will's broken his leg. Should give you two, Haribo, for that, shouldn't we, really? Maybe later. It's really good to see you. I'm really sorry that you broke your leg. And the lesson is, don't do Cumberland wrestling with your cousin. Because it could lead to a broken leg, couldn't it? Yeah. Good to see you. Okay, the Lord. The Lord is the one who is to be praised. Who's the Lord? The Lord is the God of the Bible. He is the God with a name. Remember, whenever you see the word Lord in capital letters in the Bible, that's a translation of God's name. His name in Hebrew. And that is Yahweh. He's got a name, the Lord. And it means something. It means I am. I am who I am. All other gods are non-gods. They don't exist. They've been invented by people. They are not. But the Lord is. He is. He is I am. He's the real God. He's the only God. He's the God who matters. He's the God who made the world. He's the God who gives life to everything. He's the God of Israel. He's the God with the people. He's the God of relationship, who makes promises to people and keeps them. He's the Lord. And he's the one to whom praise should be given. And just a note, praising the Lord isn't just telling him how great he is and telling others how great he is. It is that, but it's more than that. Praising the Lord is trusting him with our lives. It is obeying him with our lives. It is living our lives for him. That's praising the Lord. Okay, that's the Lord. Next. What's missing? So we're just looking at the first part now. Praise the Lord. Something. extol him something. So who can tell me what's missing here? Jeff. All you nations. What's the next one? Oh, you haven't got that far, had you not? All you peoples. Yeah, well done, Brenda. All you nations, all peoples. All nations are to praise the Lord. All peoples are to praise the Lord. Nations. You need to say something about that. That's not nations in the way we tend to think about them, like political countries, nation states, like the UK, like the US, like France, like Spain, like Myanmar. No, it's a word that means all non-Jews, all Gentiles. The Lord isn't just the God of the Jews, he's the God of all the non-Jews as well. Of course he is, because he's the only Lord. God, the Lord who made everyone. And all nations, all Gentiles, all non-Jews should praise the Lord. All peoples, again, that doesn't mean all countries. Bigger than that, who can tell me how many countries in the world? Anyone know this one? So it kind of changes now and again, doesn't it? But I did look up on the... Oh, that's a good guess, James. Not quite there. No, not 164. Yeah. It's not 202. I might be looking at the wrong figure, but you know, according to the latest figures, United Nations, 195. 195. So yeah, not far off. But 195. But when we talk about peoples, we're not talking about countries. In those countries, those 195 countries, live lots of different peoples. Groups of people with their own language, their own dialect, their own traditions, their own customs, their own cultures, their own beliefs, their own race, their ethnicity. So here's an example of a country coming up. So picture of the world. Don't know if you can see that. Where the UK is up in the top... left-hand corner, and that's where we are, of course. But here is a country highlighted, which is a long way away. It's at the other side of the world. Anyone know which country that is? You know, James, do you? It's close, though. It's not Thailand. Not Thailand. But anyone want to have a go? It's close to Thailand. Burma. Yeah. Does that still count? So can you say, but yeah. So yeah, Burma or... Oh, Myanmar. Let's have a look. There it is. So it's close to Thailand. It's next door. And it's close to India and China and lots of other countries there. You can see that. So Myanmar's the country, but within that country, there are 238 people groups, peoples. Okay, and I've written some of them down. So there's the Burmese, and then there's the Barua and the Chakma, the Intha, the Samtao, and the Yintali. I don't know if I pronounced those right. And 232 others. So they're the peoples in that country. So when Psalm 117 says, praise the Lord, all you peoples, it means praise the Lord, Burmese and Intha of Myanmar. It means praise the Lord, Welsh, Scottish, Irish, English, Bengali, Gujarati of the UK. You praise him, all peoples. Thousands of different people groups in the world. Do you know how many? Again, it's kind of depends how you count them, but one website, Joshua Project, worth a visit. Joshua Project says 10,432 people groups, 10,432, and every single one of them is commanded to praise the Lord. Now, here's something for us to think about. We might struggle with that command to praise the Lord for a number of reasons, but one reason is just seeking praise. Does the Lord seeking praise mean that he's being a bit self-centered in a bad way, or egotistical, or vain, we would say? Is the Lord being selfish? Is he being proud in wanting praise? I don't know what you think, but the answer, of course, is not at all. He's not being self-centered. He's not being vain. It's just the opposite. God commanding us, the world, to praise him is love. It's love. Because praising the Lord, making much of him, knowing him, is what's going to bring us most happiness and most satisfaction and most fulfillment. And the Lord knows that, and that's why he says, praise me. It's a brilliant quote I came across this week. It says this, the reason God seeks our praise isn't that he won't be fully God until he gets it. It's because we won't be fully happy until we give it. And he knows that. We won't be fully happy until we give it. It's what we are created to do, praising the Lord. Making much of him. Living a God-centered life. I was making tea the other day, and I was listening to music, as I often do, and on my playlist came Modern Way by the Kaiser Chiefs. Good song, isn't it? Does anyone know that one? Kaiser Chiefs. They played at Carmel just a few weeks ago. Anyone go to see them? What, the Kaiser Chiefs were on the doorstep, you never went to see them? Anyway, the Modern Way, it goes, Ricky Wilson sings, "Do you know what I was put here in the world for?" Great question. Do you know what I was put here in the world for? And then he says, "Could you tell me in 3 words or more?" And I'm cooking, and I'm listening, I'm saying, "I can tell you in 3 words, Ricky. Don't need any more. 3 words, because I'm thinking about this. 3 words, why you were put on this world. Praise the Lord. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. That's why we're all here. That's why we breathe." And there's no more wonderful, no more glorious person than the Lord. And there's nothing more fulfilling, satisfying, joy-giving than knowing him and praising him. That's the blessed life. That's the happy life. It really is. The Lord is telling us to praise him, and that's love. The reason that we're not sure about that is we've swallowed the big lie. The big lie that life's all about us and not about the Lord. It's the devil's lie. As old as Genesis 3, the Garden of Eden, Satan's lie. He's convinced us to swap what's best in life, praising the Lord, for what's worst in life, praising ourselves. Turned in on ourselves. We've fallen for that lie big time. Let's be honest. Just for a moment. Can we be honest? We pretend a lot. Let's be honest. We love promoting ourselves. Now, we might not go around, you know, shouting, saying out loud, but inside we're kind of screaming, "Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look how great I am. Notice me. Pay attention to me. Praise me." And so we big ourselves up on Facebook. We boast about ourselves, the things we've done, the places we've been, the people we've met, the celebrities we've met. Aren't I good? I met so-and-so. Sat next to Alex Ferguson on the plane. Makes me important. Yeah, but you haven't done that. I haven't, by the way. I just don't know why it came to mind. But it's what we're like. We want people to notice. Even when we do acts of service and kindness, we want people to notice, don't we? So, you know, when we do that, it's often because we want people to think we're good. We want to look good. We want people to praise our musical skills or our preaching skills or whatever it is. Our kindness to the poor. Our care for the needy. We want people to know about it so that they praise us. And that's glory stealing from God. Taking the credit from what God enables us to do, what God has given us. And that's a serious thing. And no one is immune from it. No one. Something is wrong with me. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong with the people of the world. What is it? We're sinners. That's what's wrong with us. Sin. And the DNA of sin is pride. Pride wants to get us boasting about us. It wants us looking at ourselves. It wants us to take the glory. It wants us to forget about God, which is a terrible thing because we need him so much. And it wants us to fight against God. Boasting is kind of fighting against the Lord. That's a serious thing. It's a dangerous thing. And it's also a miserable thing. I mean, we think it's going to make us happy, but it doesn't. That self-promoting game is so exhausting, isn't it? So stressful. Constantly trying to make ourselves look good, hoping people will be noticing that, and being absolutely crushed and devastated when they don't, and they don't tell us how good we are. Exhausting, so stressful, miserable. We're in a real mess left to ourselves. Do you want some good news? The Lord hasn't left us to ourselves. He hasn't. That's the good news of the second part of Psalm 17. We're going to come to it in a few moments. Before we look at it, let's sing God's praise, shall we? Let's remind ourselves why we should praise him, which is what the second part of the psalm is all about. To you alone belongs the highest praise. It really does. Let's find out why. Okay, so we've had the first part of Psalm 117. We're going to have the second part. The first part is telling the what. There's a what and a why in this psalm. The what is, everyone should praise the Lord. All peoples, all nations, praising the Lord. Now we have the why. Why are all peoples, all nations to do that? And when we've got the why, we've got the hope. This is where the hope is for glory stealers, glory grabbers. People want to praise themselves all the time. We're stuck in that. Here's the hope. Okay? Right, let's get it up. What's missing? So first one is praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples, for... Right, so there's two words missing. So we're looking for two words here. Anyone think they... No? Yeah, what was it? Okay. Do you know which one? It's not. But it's along those lines. Do you know, James? Yeah? Second one's love. Okay, what's the first one? It does begin with a G. Yes? Great. I'm going to throw it. Completely off direction there. Great, love. The word love translated from the Hebrew is hesed. Hesed's a word that you'll find all over the Old Testament. It's a really important word. It's a special kind of love. That's why we're to praise the Lord. Hesed is God's special love. His unfailing love, it's sometimes translated. Unfailing. His committed love. Love, we like to say it here, it's love with super glue on it. Super glue love. Because once it sticks to you, once you got it, you never lose it. Dello monopox love. What's Dello monopox? Just got a picture here. Dello monopox is the strongest glue in the whole wide world. Do you know it's so strong it can lift a 17.5-ton truck up? It is. So there's this aluminium cylinder that's just like 3.5 centimeters diameter, and they've glued that together with a hook on it with Dello monopox. Stuck it together. And then that's lifted a 17.5-ton truck for an hour. Strong, yeah? God's love is stronger than Dello monopox. It's love that is so, so strong. And the word, can we just go back to great, great love again? Thank you. The word great means, sometimes it can mean big, but it means mighty, particularly here, mighty. It's used of the strongest side in battle, the side that always wins. And it's used in the Bible of floodwaters that overtake everything. And that's what God's love is like. It can't be stopped. It is undefeatable. Is that a word? Undefeatable is God's love. And that's his love towards us. Did you notice that in the psalm? That his love is towards us. That's astonishing, isn't it? His love is towards his glory grabbers. To people who want to steal his praise. So it must be very, very, very great, that love, mustn't it? Must be. And it's a love that we don't deserve. Completely undeserved. Which, undeserved love, that makes God's love the best love. Undeserved. Because if we didn't do anything to deserve it in the first place, you know what that means, don't you? Exactly. It means once we've received it, once we've had it, we can't do anything to undeserve it. Wow. Great love. Greater, stronger than our sin. Now, we just sung it, haven't we? Our shame was deep, but God's love goes deeper still. Deeper still, great love. Okay, now the last bit of the psalm. For great is his love towards us, and the something of the Lord, and just forever. So, three words. Three words missing. Who can tell us those three words? Three words. Maybe someone else hasn't had a go? Tony. Faithfulness. For great is his love, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures. Yeah? Forever. Faithfulness forever. Let's think about that. Just briefly, faithfulness. Oh, it can be translated truth. So God's faithfulness, God's truth lasts forever. He doesn't go back on his promises. Ever. He always keeps his promises. I mean, we have experienced sad experiences of people breaking their promises to us, won't we? And we'll have broken promises to other people. God never breaks his promise. His big promise in the Bible was to bless the world through Abraham's family. To save the world. To bring the world back into being praise givers rather than praise stealers. And he's been unshakable in that commitment. And he promised to save the people of the world from their sin and punishment from that sin. And he kept that promise. He kept that promise. How did he keep that promise? He sent Jesus. He sent his son to save us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we see God's great love and his faithfulness to his promise at the cross of Jesus, don't we? That's where we see it most clearly of all. Even though we've rejected him, even though we've stolen his praise, we've tried to grab his glory for ourselves, and we've spoilt our lives, and we've spoilt the world that he created, he doesn't leave us in the mess that we've made. No, no, no. He loves us so, so much that he comes to us. He comes to us as a man like us, leaves the glory of heaven, where he's praised by angels. And he comes to this earth as a man, not just to live our life, but amazingly to die our death so that we can have life with him again. He came to take the punishment that we deserve for our praise stealing, our glory grabbing, so that we can know the joy once again of being praise givers. Wow. Awesome. We've done nothing to deserve that, but he does it anyway. Why does he do it? Because of his great love. His great love. And the cross shows us that the Lord is faithful as well, doesn't it? True to his words. Absolutely true to his promise. He said he'd send someone to make us his children again. He said he'd send someone to save us from our praise grabbing, praise stealing, to make us praises again. And he did. Faithful to restoring us to himself. It was very, very costly for God to keep that promise. But he did it anyway. He's faithful. And when we see his great love, and when we see his forever faithfulness, when we look at the cross, it's very hard to boast about ourselves, isn't it? Makes us want to praise him. Makes us want to boast in him. Surely he is worthy of our praise. Great. Psalm 117 tells us God's plan for the world. His big plan is that all nations, all peoples will know about his love and his faithfulness. He wants people everywhere to know about that, to know him so that they can praise him too. That's his plan. That's his priority. But not everyone knows about the Lord. Not everyone knows about his great love. Not everyone knows about his faithfulness. That's really sad. There's lots of people who are unreached. Of the 10,000, whatever it was, 600 and something, 4,686 groups are unreached at the moment. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to go and tell them? We are God's people. It's God's people. Our responsibility and our privilege to do that. The Lord involves us in his great plan to get the news about him, the good news about him to the whole world. That's what Psalm 117 is encouraging God's people to do. Psalm 117 is God's people going to the world and telling them, come on, praise the Lord, join in. He's so good. He's so wonderful. He's sent his son to save us so that we can praise him and know true joy, everlasting joy. Come on. Come and join in. We're going to finish with Bible reading, which Gwen's going to do, and then songs of praise to God. So Gwen, come and read God's word to us. It'll come up on the screen, but you can follow it in the Bible as well. Revelation 7.
Yes, it's Revelation chapter 7, and it's reading from verses 9 to 12. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Well, as Gwen makes her way to the piano, we're going to sing in a moment or two. Just to say, what is that Revelation 7? Did you notice it? It's Psalm 117 come true. It's a picture of God's new world that's coming, heaven come to earth. And he's done it, he's kept his promise. And there's people from all peoples praising God for his great love and his faithfulness to them. It's a picture of where everything is heading. And it's a picture of the happiest place, full of the happiest people, doing the happiest thing forever, praising the Lord. And if you trust Jesus, you're going to be there. You're going to be there. Not might be, not maybe, you will be. Why? Because of his great love towards you and his faithfulness, which endures forever. Praise the Lord.